Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah.
So today we start something brand new. We are live streaming Sunday school, so that is awesome. But I get to be the guinea pig for that, so no pressure, right, for me to make sure everything goes great. If it flops, we can blame it all on me, right? But hopefully it does not. So today and for the next 7 weeks after today, so 8 weeks, we'll be talking about Leadership 101 for Christian Leaders. It's kind of like any college course, you know, the first course you take, General 101, right? It's like the basics. So this is not any advanced stuff. This is just the basics of the basics. If you're going to be a leader and a Christian, which all of us as Christians are leaders, in case you didn't know that, you are a leader. And so that is what we're going to talk about throughout these next 8 weeks. So first and foremost, I want to start with a few of my favorite quotes, because that's what I like to do. So first one, never make a principle out of your own experience. Let God be as original with someone else as he was with you. John Eldridge at Wild at Heart. May your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears. Nelson Mandela. People don't seem to realize that their opinion of the world is also a confession of their character. Ralph Emerson. Don't pursue glory, pursue excellence. Everyone is accountable for their choices, no matter the challenges or circumstances. And the legacies we leave at home, at work, and in our communities are neither separate nor distinct. That's the coach from the Naval Academy. We are not called to a task, a mission, a job, or a ministry. We're called to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We become obedient to him in our activities, but we are called to a relationship. Throughout your life, that call never changes, but your task or ministry focus may change at times. Jesus' call was to a relationship with the Father. Christ is our model, living this call. And that's from the book, The Man That God Uses. Yes, the one from Ralph Emerson. People don't seem to realize that their opinion of the world is also a confession of their character. And there's my favorite quote, which I often say when it pertains to leadership: if serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. And that is my favorite quote, because what you have to understand is that leadership, in its full, when it's fully developed, is servant. Right, you have to serve other people. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But so just so you know, have a little bit of background of me, first and foremost. So, next slide. As you can see, for the people who are live streaming at home, right, who didn't know me beforehand, obviously the people in here know me, so, but I'm still going to give a brief introduction. My name is JT. Right, I've been married almost 12 years to my beautiful wife, Nikki. We have 3 children together. So a little bit of my background. So I have my master's in organizational development and leadership, my bachelor's in organizational management. So these are the kind of things I like doing, right? When it comes to leadership, managing organizations, I nerd out in this stuff. This is stuff that I enjoy doing. In my free time, I like to research stuff about leadership, right? It just tells you how much of a nerd I am when it comes to this stuff, right? I enjoy this, right? Because these are topics, when it comes down to it, that you can always learn something, and you can learn it from anyone. It doesn't have to be someone who's a professor that I can learn leadership topics from. I learn leadership topics from my kids, right? It just depends on where you're looking. So I like doing that. So retired Air Force. I was in the military for 20 years. So Air Force, best service. So sorry for you other service people, but you're just second, third, fourth, fifth place, right? This is the way it works. So I currently work for Accenture. They're a consultancy firm. Big sports fan. Anybody who knows me knows I love sports. I love basketball and football. Colts fan through and through. Usually I am wearing Colts gear majority of the time. If you see me 85% of the time, I probably have something with the Colts on. But since we're live streaming at church, you know, I got to be professional. So I left my Colts gear at home. So I did not wear it, except my jacket. My jacket is here, just not wearing it right now. So I enjoy puzzles and different things like that that make my mind work. So every single morning I get up, I do the Wordle. For you guys who are Wordle fans, that's me. I love doing that. It's very fun. I like to do crossword puzzles and stuff like that too. I enjoy reading. My reading mostly is nonfiction, though. I'm not a big fiction fan. I was when I was a kid. Now I enjoy like books that challenge me to think and make me into a better person is generally what I like reading. A couple of fun facts about me. I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday, obviously. I'm the weird one that likes Hallmark movies. I don't care what you say. I know it's the same plot, but it's different actors sometimes. Not even all the times, just sometimes it's different actors, right? I still like that. I believe them every time, whoever they say they are, right? And I also graduated high school in Japan. So my dad was in an inferior service in the Marine Corps. So I spent some time over there. I loved it so much that I wanted to go back over there. And so I chose the job that I chose, thinking I would get a chance to go back to Japan in the Air Force. And they sent me to Texas instead. So here I am. Years later, and I think everything works out for a reason, right? It's where I'm here because of that decision and because of what happened. So I like that. And that's obviously a picture of my wife and I, my family. So before I get started, there's a microphone around. So I would like to ask a question to everyone in here, to people who want to answer. So pipe up if you do. What do you think leadership means?
I didn't make this up, but I read in a book whenever I was gone, to be a good leader, you must first be a good follower.
Oh, that's an excellent point, because so many people forget about the followership of leaders, right? Everybody wants to be in charge, but nobody wants to listen. Yeah. Anybody else?
Setting the best example so that those that are following you can do the same.
Setting example, that's awesome. We're going to talk about that too. I love that. Thank you.
Destiny, the organization that we are part of, their motto is towels, not titles. Mm. So serving, you know, drying feet, serving.
Exactly, servants. It's awesome. Anyone else? Exactly, servant. That's exactly what it is. We'll get down to that. So let's go to the next slide. What does the dictionary say? Oh, one more.
Honesty.
Honesty. That is a good trait to have if you're going to be a leader. Please, God, be honest. One more. Oh. So Merriam-Webster defines leaders as an office or position of a leader, capacity to lead, the act or instance of leading. Lead means to guide on a way, especially by going in advance or to direct the operations or activity or performance of, or to direct the operations, activity, or performance of. Fancy words, right? Just means leading by example, going forward. Next slide. So what does the Bible say about leadership? This is my favorite part, because we're all Christians. Next slide, please. All right. So the Bible has a, surprise, surprise, has a lot to say about leadership, right? But I've narrowed it down to four different passages I like to talk about. So the first one comes from Matthew 20. It says, Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. Going forward, Luke 12 says, the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. I don't want to be beaten with many blows. I don't know about you guys. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. There's a lot of beatings of blows going on right now. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Just want to keep that out there, just so you guys know. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. And so that's leadership in its totality right there, right? You're going to be asked of more, and more is going to be expected of you, right? You're given privileges for that leadership position, but it comes with a but, right? There's always a but with it. Yeah. And God's going to hold you accountable for the people that you're leading. So, John 13, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. This is Jesus talking. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. I want to call attention to that, right? Jesus doesn't skirt around the fact that he is in charge. Yeah. It's very clear. You call me Lord, and you're right to call me Lord, because I am Lord. However, he continues, Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no one servant is greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It's condition, right? The Bible has a lot of conditions. I know we like to gloss over those sometimes. Oh, you'll be blessed. The Bible says you'll be blessed if you do them. Not if you think about them. Not if you hold them in your heart and cherish them, right? No, if you do them. Jesus sets an example and says, do this. Last one I have up here that I highlighted, Acts 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he has bought with his own blood. So I love that first part, which is why I highlighted it. As leaders, we have to keep watch over ourselves, especially, right? It is good to look after other people, but if you're not taking care of yourself by examining yourself through the mirror, the lens, which is God's word, then you can be caught off guard too, right? So it's very important. So like I said, I come from the military background, and when in the Air Force specifically, when you promote to a certain rank, you get known as a sergeant, right? So you go from an airman to a staff sergeant. We took away the buck sergeant rank, and it became just staff sergeant, right? But the word sergeant in French actually means servant. So even in the military, they understand that when you are a leader and you're put into a position of authority, you are still a servant first, right? I know Joy can attest. She was also in the Air Force, best service. Is that right? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, see, I got allies already in here. So if anybody wants to come, me and Joy got it. So I just want you guys to know. So I guess, again, once you get promoted, once you make that rank of sergeant, it doesn't matter how far you get promoted past that. You're still known as a sergeant. So staff sergeant, technical sergeant, master sergeant, senior master sergeant, you're still a sergeant, right? You're still a servant. Now, I can't speak for the officers. Those are a different breed, right? That's just different. They do what they want to do. But I'm talking about the enlisted, right? That is what you're known as, a sergeant. And so as Christians, I'm going to propose a question. Who do we think is our greatest example as Christians of a leader? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. His name is in the word Christian, right? So I'm not trying to stump you guys here, right? We're talking about Christ. Jesus is the ultimate example of what it means to be a leader. If we look at the life of Jesus, I love this, right? And I when I was studying for this a while ago, and I put this material together, I actually delivered this material to another church and another group of leaders. And I thought it was amazing as I was doing this research. God just opened this up to me. He just kind of brought it to me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who noticed this. I'm sure there's a lot of people who've come before me and who come after me who noticed this and even piece it together even better than I have. But God really just spoke to me about this. And when you look at Jesus' life and look at everything that Jesus did, it boils down to two different things, right? And this is leadership in totality. When Jesus did something, he said two things. He told people, I'm only doing what my Father tells me to do, right? Number one. And he also says, I'm only doing it for your benefit, not for mine. If we as people can get those two principles down, that is leadership in its totality. I don't need to talk about anything else. That's it. You do what God tells you to do, and you do it for the benefit of others, not yourself. You get those two principles down, that's it. That's leadership. I don't have to talk about that. I don't have to read books to you. I don't have to do anything else, because that is it. That is the life of Jesus. He did what God told him to do, and he did it for the benefit of others, not for himself. That is leadership. And once we get past the, I got to do this to make myself look good. I got to do this so other people will think highly of me. Oh my God, I'm so great, right? I'm up here speaking at Sunday school. That's the first live stream ever. I got to be so awesome, right? No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to be about God, and it has to be about doing what he says and for the benefit of others, not for ourselves. And that's exactly what he said. Like, literally, we can pack it up, and I don't have to spend another week about this, and we can just go home, and we know what leadership is. The problem is we're people, right? We're human. That's a very nebulous thing you just said to me, JT. Okay, that sounds good, but how do I put that into practice? What are some principles that I can use to actually do that, to listen to God, and to actually put others before myself? Because let's just be honest, like, not everybody deserves to be put first. I mean, they get on your nerves, like, right? Sometimes they just do. And if you've ever been in kind of any position of leadership, you guys know that not everybody is going to be happy with the decisions that you make. As a matter of fact, that just comes with the territory. And if you think you're going to make everybody happy, I got news for you. Like they always say, you cannot make everybody happy, you're not ice cream. And the funny thing about that is I heard somebody on Reddit say, I don't even like ice cream. So see that? You can't even make everybody happy with ice cream, right? So I'm just going to put it out there. As a leader, you are not going to be making everybody happy, right? And I've heard the meme, right, that says, you know, I can't make everybody happy, but I can definitely make everybody mad. Right? That's fun. That's a fun thing to say, but honestly, that again, that should not be our goal. But I say that because when we're doing things for the benefit of others, that's not the same thing as doing things to make people happy. And if your goal as a leader cannot be to try to make everybody happy, because that's the wrong focus. Again, we look to Jesus as our ultimate example, and he didn't do things to make people happy. He did it for their benefit. So that's what I'm going to talk about over these next 6 weeks, right? I'm talking about Christian leadership principles. But before we go into that, next slide, please. I'm going to talk about me a little bit. I want you guys to get to know who JT is, right? So I like to do these little personality tests. Actually, most of my jobs that I went to, starting from the military all the way up until now, they do these kind of personality strength tests to kind of get to know you so you get to know yourself, you get to know your team, the people that you're working with, and it's a really great peek to kind of behind the curtain to kind of see who you are as a person, right? So my job right now on the left-hand side, I know you guys can't read it, I'm going to read it to you. It's called Gallup Clifton Strengths. So they have like a list of like 35 different strengths. I did this at my job. And you answer some questions and I highlight your top five, right? So my top five are arranger, consistency, relator, harmony, and learner. So a little peek in that. Arranger says people exceptionally talented in the arranger theme can organize, but they can also have flexibility that complements this ability. They like to determine how all the pieces and resources can be arranged for maximum productivity, right? So that's my top one. Out of all the strengths, that is my top one, arranger. Then it goes to consistency, relator, harmony, and learner. And I want to key in on learner, too. That's in my top five. So people exceptionally talented in the learner theme have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. The process of learning rather than the outcome excites them. That's me. I love learning. And it's weird to me when other people don't. I'm constantly like amazed at people who just, this is all I want to know. I'm good with it. And they just go about their life. And I'm like, you're missing out on so much though. There's so much out there and I can learn from anybody. It doesn't matter. People I don't like, I can learn from. I have actually. I had a great career in the military. I'm not even gonna lie. Every single boss I had was amazing except for one. And I always say this. Except for one, this guy was horrible. I did not like him, right? But he was the most charming guy out of all of my bosses. I mean, this guy could work a room. Let me tell you, he can go inside and start talking to people. And I'm sitting there like, who are you? Because behind closed doors, he was not like that, right? But in front of other people, he was amazing. I mean, he was just charming. He was hilarious. He made jokes that I thought were funny. And I'm like, I don't even like this guy. Who are you? You're funny now, but behind closed doors, you're not, right? And the reason why I always say that he was my worst boss, it's not because he didn't know how to be a leader. He was an amazing leader. He could tell you, he can quote things left and right of how to be a great leader in the military. He told you boots in, boots out. He said all this great stuff, but he didn't live it. And that was the problem, because I saw that the only reason he said that is so he can step on other people and get ahead, and that's why he was my worst leader to me. Because he knew it, and he still didn't do it. That's the worst kind of person to me. If you don't know something, and you mess up, hey, that's just, you didn't know. I mean, how can we hold somebody accountable for something they didn't know? But if they do know, and they don't do it anyway, to me, it's worse, right? Say it again.
Many blows.
Many blows. It's true. You have to be the type of person that does what they espouse. And we'll get to that later on. That's one of my leadership principles. But so right here on the right-hand side, as you see, is my personality strengths, right? This comes from the 16personalities.com. So every single person that's in here right now and also people watching live stream, I want you guys to go to this website, 16personalities.com. There's a free version of this, and I want you guys to take this test. We'll come back next week, and we're going to talk to some of you guys who wants to share some of the things that you learned about yourself after you've taken this test, right? Because I think it's very helpful. It gives you a window and a glimpse of who you are and maybe the things that you already knew about yourself, but you didn't know how to put into words, right? And it kind of just gives you that, oh, yeah, that's why I do those things. That's why I like that, right? And it just tells you a little bit about yourself. So I did this for myself. Now, granted, I did this in 2021, but it hasn't changed much. So the way this works is I have different things on the side, and I'm going to read them off to you, but there's a sliding scale, and I'll explain that as I go along. So it says I am 68% introverted. So there's a sliding scale. On one side is introverted. On the other side is extroverted, right? I lean more towards introverted. That's the reason why I got 68%. So that's how that works. You guys understand what I'm saying now? Kind of what the sliding scale goes? So it's not like, bam, you're 100% this. It's a sliding scale. So introverted, it literally just means how I get my energy, right? So I am an introverted person. Does it mean I have to walk and touch the wall and look at the ground all the time? And like, right? I think a lot of people think introverted people are like that, right? Don't want to hang out with anybody. That's not what that means. It just means being around people and talking to them drains me, right? I feel my battery decreasing as the more I talk to people, the more I have to interact. When I would be in the office, thankfully, most of the time I work from home now, but I like going into the office. I like the social aspect. But when I had to work in the office every single day and talk to people every single day, by the time 2 o'clock rolled around, I was drained. I was like, oh my God, if one more person walked into this office, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep my Holy Ghost, right? I may go off on somebody because I'm just tired because people take and take and take from you, right? That's how it is for me as an introvert. Now, if you're on the opposite end of the spectrum, like my wife, she's an extrovert. She gets her energy from being around people. People inspire her and pump her juices up. She's ready to go. The more she's around people, the more energy she gets. The more she's alone, the less energy she has. We're the complete opposite. It's amazing. COVID was like weird in our house, right? Because COVID for me, I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world, right? COVID for her was like, this is the worst thing in the world, right? It was hard. It's very difficult how we see things. And when you understand that about yourself, it is easy to relate to other people. And when you understand that about them, it is easy to relate to them, right? So also, introverted people, like me, prefer fewer yet deep, meaningful social interactions, and I feel drawn to more calmer environments. I can do a party every now and then, but for the most part, I'd rather have a social get-together where it's just me and a couple of friends and we're just sitting down talking. That's what I prefer. That's me. You may be different, right? Intuitive. Again, there's a sliding scale between intuitive and observant. So I'm 54%, close to the middle when it comes to that. What does that mean? This means I am likely very imaginative and open-minded, focusing on hidden meanings and distant possibilities. That's what that means. So I like to look at things and see what could be versus what necessarily is. Also says feeling. So there's a sliding scale between thinking and feeling. I am 70% feeling, so I'm more over to the feeling. What does that mean? It says it means I value emotional expression and sensitivity, prioritizing empathy, social harmony, and cooperation. That's why I like Hallmark movies. It all made sense. When I did this, I was like, this makes sense. Like, because this is what those movies are, right? I joke a little bit, but that's kind of like, that's me in a nutshell, right? So, and then, as you can see, the next one is judging. So there's a slide scale between judging and prospecting. Now, I know you guys looking at me like, oh, I knew he was a judger. I could tell just from looking at him. That's not what this judging means, though, right? And believe me, I had to look at it. I had to look at it a couple times, too, because I was like, man, am I judging? Maybe that's what I am, right? But that's not what that means. So judging in this perspective means You are likely highly organized, decisive, and thorough. You value clarity and prefer planning to spontaneity. Prospecting is the opposite of that. They like spontaneity, right? So the military attracts certain type of people, right? People who like order and discipline, all that kind of stuff. But there's also a lot of people in the military who don't like that, who are very opposite, and we need all that. And your organizations that you're leading, and your ministries that you're leading, whatever you do, you're going to have people that are different from you. So you have to understand what their personality type is and how to bring them along when it comes to you. You can't just have a whole bunch of people who like organization because they're not going to plan for the unexpected, right? If I got a whole bunch of people who are in my group who are exactly like me and like order and like discipline, man, we're having a good time in that meeting. It's going to be awesome because we're going to be highly efficient and we're going to get things done, but we're not going to see the other thing, the other side of it. And we need those people that see the other side of it. And also assertive. So there's a sliding scale between assertive and turbulent, right? I'd like to think I'm not turbulent, so that's awesome. Assertive, it says you are likely self-assured, even-tempered, and resistant to stress, refusing to worry too much. Again, that's me. I'm not a worrier, right? I see a problem, and I'll think about it for a while, and it'll mess with me. I'm like, okay, I got to come up with a plan to attack this. That's kind of how I do things. Other people are like, oh my God, it's raining, you know, and then they just worry about everything. It's like, dude, like, they said it was going to rain 2 days ago. We already knew it was going to rain, right? So, but some people are like that. That is how they process things. I'm not. So it gives like different roles, right? And one of the roles it says for me is diplomat, and the strategy is confident individualism. So I want to read this for a little bit because it says different strategies. Once you go to the website, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'll give you like different strategies. But what it says for me when I read this, it says, confident individualists bring their love of independence into their academic and professional pursuits. They are more likely than any other strategy to say that learning as part of a group is distracting rather than helpful. As you can imagine, group projects can be frustrating for this personality types, whether in school or the workplace. This isn't to say they can't work well with others, far from it, but if given the choice, these types will prefer to operate independently, figure things out on their own, and at work, they try to develop a specific area of expertise that allows them to make their own decisions and do most of the tasks on their own. Why am I bringing this up? Why am I telling you all this stuff about me? Because I want to be, you know, free and just tell all my business? No, because what I'm trying to do is get you guys to understand something. I have a lot of things working against me when it comes to being used by God, right? I get my energy from being alone. I like doing things on my own. I don't really like other people meddling in my business, right? So I have all this stuff, and God's like, hey, I want you to be in a community. I'm like, that doesn't sound great at all. That sounds horrible, actually, right? But just because I have this natural leaning and this natural personality that, by the way, God gave me, I just need you to understand that, that it was shaped by my surroundings, but God gave me this, is still subject to him. I can't use the excuse that this is just how I am and you have to deal with it. I think we do that as Christians a lot, right? As people, not just Christians, as people. Well, this is just how I am. You're going to have to deal with it. No. Everything I am is subject to Jesus Christ. And if God says, I give you this bend, this lean for a reason, it is to be used by me, not to be used by you as a crutch. It is important that just because this is my natural inclination, it does not justify me doing what I want to do. And I want to, as I wrap this up, I want to leave it like this. I just want to say one more thing. And generally, people like me who are confident, who are individualists, tend to not go with groupthink. We like to buck the system a little bit. We like to be a little rebellious, as I say, right? And if I look in the scripture, anything that has to do with rebellion is not linked to God. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite of what God says. So we have this, the way this goes kind of now, especially in today's narrative in the political realm and in different things like that, we as Christians, the Christian community seems to believe we have an obligation to rebel when it comes to laws or things that we don't agree with. Right? Well, I don't like this, so I'm rebelling against it. Yeah. That's not what God calls us to do, though. You know, and I know the scripture says, you know, we're supposed to listen and we're supposed to do these things, but it's very, I want to be very clear about this. Rebellion is not the same thing as obedience to God, right? There's two different focuses. When you're rebelling against something, you're focusing on the thing you're rebelling against. So I don't like this law, I don't like this rule, so I'm not going to do it, and your focus is on the law or the rule. When you're saying I'm being obedient to God, you're not even looking at the law or the rule. You say, God, I'm going to do what you say. There's a difference. The focus is different. And I need you guys to understand this, because we're Christians. We're going to do this. We're going to influence the world. We're going to be leaders. We need to be leaders at being obedient, not leaders at being rebellious. It's very important. And that is it goes against what I'm naturally inclined to do. If somebody is doing something and telling me to do something that I don't agree with, I'm not just going to fall in line. Yeah. No. It has to make sense. Make it make sense for me before I do it, right? But that's not what, it's a battle sometimes that I have to submit my will to God. God, this doesn't make sense to me what you're telling me to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I want you guys to kind of do some research. Go to 16personalities.com. We'll come back next week and we'll talk about some of the findings you guys got, some things you thought was interesting, and then we'll continue on with our study. That is all I have today. Thank you.